Hello and welcome to the Moviegoers. I'm here with the usual guys, Phil.
Hello.
Greg.
Hello.
And I'm Andy. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about Argo, Ben Affleck's third feature film about a little-known CIA rescue mission during the Iran hostage crisis of 1979. And then we're also going to be trying something a little different today and just focusing on one new release and then kind of opening up the floor to a handful of movies that we've seen, whether in the theater or on DVD. But we're going to start things off with Argo, so let's just jump right in. You know, Greg, do you like the movie?
I think it is a good movie.
Phil?
I wouldn't recommend this movie. It was perfectly adequate, but safe.
Yeah, I'll offer the highest review. Then, I think it's a really good movie. And
all right,
you know, just get the conversation going. Yeah, what? Like, if you had to describe the movie in one word to somebody, or like, what's the lasting impression of the movie in one word? What is it?
Safe.
I would say solid.
And I would say glasses.
Okay, well, you're going to have to articulate that one, because that, what do you mean glasses?
Well, I mean, this, you know, it might be touching on like a little personal fetish of mine, but like, I just, the choices of eyewear for spectacles of the people was kind of so over the top and period based, and everyone is wearing these huge glasses. And I every time somebody came on screen in them, I was just like, oh, check out those glasses.
This is why you like the film.
No, but is
this like a goof? Are we going to really have a conversation about that?
No, I think it's like was one of my lasting, you know, few things with the movie.
Because we can get into this right off the top, but since it's a period piece, there's some period pieces where the details, you know, become invisible or you forget about them. In this movie, I'm so aware of every single period piece choice, and I think it's part of...
Well, like, beyond the glasses, what would be another period piece choice? You know, that you're aware of all the time.
The facial hair, the costumes, the suits, just... I was so aware of it. It never just sort of... The story itself, I thought Ben Affleck as a director was saying, hey, look, this is 1979.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing, you know, talking about, because I know you guys, you know, I know a little bit of what you thought of Ben Affleck's first two movies, but...
Well, we should talk about
What, you know, so where did you each come in, like, with Ben Affleck as a director?
First? Oh, yeah, I would like to talk about this, because I actually... came in, I'm not a huge fan of him as a director. I like the material that he's sort of drawn to. Like, I mean, I love heist movies. I like that, you know, he's making a heist movie that's sort of, you know, recalling, you know, Friends of Eddie Coyle and Heat, you know, and Point Break. And like, I love those kind of movies. But I did not like that movie. I did not like The Town. Because
what about Gone Baby Gone?
And Gone Baby Gone, again, like, I like small crime movies, yeah. But I did not like Gone Baby Gone at all. I did like some scenes from Gone Baby Gone. And look, I think The Town, there are some scenes in it. But I guess I would say with Affleck as a director, I sort of have a similar feel about him that I do with Spielberg. Whereas, like, I do think... Like, there's a... Should I be allowed to speak, or should I... Yeah. I'm going to talk about it. I'm not comparing them as, like, skill-wise. Yeah. I'm saying, look, Spielberg, I recognize, is, like, a really talented director and all this stuff. But there's... I have a personal distaste for certain types of choices that he makes.
Yeah.
That bug me on a purely personal level. Now, and so that's why I would never put Spielberg as one of my favorite directors. Even though he's highly skilled, he's way more highly skilled than Affleck. I do
think Affleck is highly skilled, but...
No, I don't think Affleck is as highly skilled as Spielberg. However, I do think he is skilled, and he's not, you know, he's only made 3 movies. I mean, he's doing a good job as a director, but there are things I don't like about his movies that are personal choices. And so, and I can talk about that, but there were less of those in Argo. And so to get somewhere with this conversation is like, I definitely think Argo is his best movie, but it is still flawed in my estimation, on a personal taste level for me as a viewer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, do you differ from Greg in like... Yeah,
I don't know how Ben Affleck has garnered such a name as an acclaimed director. He's made 2 movies prior to this. Both of them, I thought, were just bad. And this was certainly better. But this is now an average movie. Gone Baby Gone, I thought the second half was really bad.
The bad guy plot in Gone Baby Gone is ludicrous. And that's what makes the movie so...
I think that's like a first film the guy made.
Sure, but we're talking about Ben Affleck. All of a sudden, like, people are putting... elevating Ben Affleck as a very serious director.
Yeah.
And I don't think he only has 2 prior films, and I don't think either one merits the attention. It seems like his acclaim is not conducive to the movies that he's actually made. I don't know if it's because he's an actor turned director and people want to celebrate that and get behind that.
No.
Or what?
Like, I don't know. That.
Well, no, I think you guys are really underestimating
people genuinely. I'm saying my dislike of the town is personal. It's not objective. It's the town is really popular. However, I will submit that if you are a big fan of heist movies and crime movies, and I count myself as a person who is one of those, I think the town is very underwhelming because better movies were made 25 years ago in that same genre, and Affleck is clearly influenced by those movies. And so if you're watching it in that context, it's like, well, you're making a movie that wasn't as good as a movie that was made 25 years ago. Why are you making this movie? So I submit that the people that enjoy the town are not that familiar with heist movies and kind of are like, oh, well, this is cool. And it's like seeing a heist movie for the first time. That's why I think that's what the thing with the town is. I'm interested with this,
you know, because I think it is one of the the knocks on him would be that his previous movies were just a little bit, not just like influenced by, but kind of ripoffs of, you know, so-called better crime movies. Would be like the argument against him. But did you not interested whether you agree with it for those movies. I'm interested whether you felt like that happened with Argo. Was this his movie, or did it belong to other filmmakers who influenced him?
Well, everyone's influenced by other filmmakers. I don't really... The ripoff charge is... I wouldn't say it's a ripoff issue. That's not the issue. I do think this movie is influenced by 70s filmmakers. The ones I thought of were Lumet and Pakula. Those are the ones that I think Affleck is thinking about. I don't know if you... Maybe there's some other ones that...
I don't even...
Did you think he got better in this third movie?
Yes, this is a competent, adequate... Right. Movie, but I'd seen this story
what is the problem though with making a competent, adequate movie?
Average is an achievement.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue. Okay, what was the last adequate movie in your opinion that you saw?
Yeah,
like, give me a comparable. So I can gauge of what you're saying is competent, adequate.
Can you name some?
Well, no. I mean, it's your personal
Let me talk about this. Is average, but do you think average is that why you go to the movies? to see. Were you surprised during this film?
Movie going is a habit for me. Like, I go because, and if I am entertained and have a good time and am told an interesting story and I'm able to talk about it afterwards, I'm satisfied with my experience having gone to movies. Yes, I would like to be wowed sometimes, but I don't expect to be wowed every time. And not every time that I'm not wowed do I feel like I wasted my time.
If a friend tells me a movie is just average and I don't have already a built-in expectation to see it or have some reason to see it, an average review doesn't get me to the theater. I mean, you wouldn't read an average book or watch an average television show.
Well, you know, you're arguing against the grain because people do watch average TV shows.
And it also doesn't make sense because not everything can be above average.
Let me reframe the average.
Yeah.
I found this movie neither pleasing nor offending.
Right.
And so I sat there and, it's... The movie was told it didn't have great mistakes. It also didn't have great drama for me.
Yeah.
And it was... I could have lived without seeing it for sure. Didn't think... I mean, we can get into the acting if we want, or the characters. The characters... It was very formulaic
for me. The character stories are easily the worst part.
There's none. And we can bring up... I'll bring up a good to average movie. I mean, it was a couple years back, but I did think of it while watching it and thought of why was that movie better than this? And it's Michael Clayton.
Yeah.
And it's a genre movie, but the difference is Michael Clayton has a character at the heart of it who... the character is sort of, it becomes a character movie in a way, in a genre movie.
I totally agree that Michael Clayton is a better movie, and I actually think is an apt comparison because it is the similar type of, you know, realistic thriller, not based, you know, there are differences.
Well, I'm going to argue that it's pretty far field because, like, I think what's interesting with Affleck as a director is that he has really grown from the first movie. Mm-hmm. And he has chosen similar kinds of movies in this of, like, these are the most ensemble... some of the most ensemble movies that are being made right now. Like, I don't... There were... are you kidding me? There was an incredible number of speaking roles in this movie.
But they're not characters. Glorified extras.
Oh, I mean,
the hostages are glorified extras, Andy.
Oh no, they end up by the end of the movie. I believe they were characters by the end of the movie. Like their first couple of scenes, I wasn't that on board with that story. But by the end, yeah, I mean, I was there when they're, you know, when they get into Iranian airspace, and so I guess I'm saying
you should be at least So that made you surprised that you were into it. In some level?
Surprised. I was enjoying the movie. I thought this was one of the most fast-paced, like, adult, so to speak, drama, thriller, what you want to call it, that we've seen in a while. Oh. And, like, it was an incredibly enjoyable audience experience.
Look, I without a doubt think this movie is going to be in there in Oscar contention.
Yeah, that's
like,
without
I think
a doubt.
It is something that people, like, and I think we should give Affleck a little bit of credit, Phil, that I think you're underestimating. You know, it's not easy to make these kind of like adult drama thrillers on this scale. People don't make them that often. I mean, you're sort of making fun of the other week of like a world of Resident Evil 6s. This is standing out.
I'm going to bring up what these movies are being made. Somehow Ben Affleck gets the venue of getting them in the theater, but these movies are made and they're TV movies. And HBO is doing them all the time.
Game Change?
Game Change?
This is way better than Game Change.
Oh my God, this is
way better than Game Change.
Let's talk about... It also costs probably two times the amount. But let's break it down.
And it's greater than twice as good to me, you know.
Oh, I don't think so. Game Change I enjoyed as much.
You know, I haven't seen Game Change, but... I mean, your response to this is so. I don't want to talk about like a TV HBO but movie that doesn't have to do with Argo. Like we're talking about
no,
like,
one of the more crowd-pleasing movies. It's a little. Right I mean, now. It's fair for him to bring up a comparison. Yeah, it's what he's thinking
these are about, other movies with very respectable actors on Ben Affleck's level. It's Ed Harris and Julianne Moore, and they're based on actual events, and the arc is very similar. And HBO does these movies all the time. Let me point out one huge difference, though.
Let me say this: the best part of the movie for me, opening sequence in Argo, is fantastic.
When they're storming the embassy,
it's really well done. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the ensemble performances in that. In the movie in general, I think the character journeys of the movie are very hackneyed. Like, and like, I mean, almost like he didn't even care about. I mean, the stuff with his kid, I mean, it was silly. I mean, there was one good moment where they're watching the movie together, and that's where he gets the idea. But I did think the opening sequence was very good, far better than anything on Game Change or a lot of, you know, TV movie that I can think of.
Well, the big difference between this is what, you know, I was trying to get at with the idea of Game Change. You can't make Game Change and release it as a worldwide movie. Like, even as a national movie, nobody's going to go see that in the theater. Right. This is you're dealing with, you know, I just think it's like you're trying to write off the audience for how much they enjoyed this movie.
I'm not when I go see a movie, I don't want to think about the audience. I'm just reacting from what I'm
but I guess I guess you're, to me, I shouldn't go in with the business. I'm not saying but you are, you know, for lack of a better word, shitting on Ben Affleck in his previous movies when The Town was a huge hit, like, you know, popular hit.
Right, and he's a very popular director right now, and I don't quite... I find him to be a journeyman director who can make an average movie.
Yeah, journeyman directors is not the right... Because, I mean, he's just getting started as a director.
He's considered an acclaimed director, and I'm sure at some point we'll talk about if he's a top-tier director. You don't think some of that is because
he's making movies that people don't, you know, choose to make anymore, and so people are responding to a type of content and a type of entertainment that every time these movies come out, it happened with The Town, you know, and you brought up Michael Clayton, this, you know, not to compare the movies, because I think they aren't very similar content-wise, but they're this demographic, serious, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
And it happens with this movie of like, oh, adults are like, thank God we're seeing kind of a serious, fun, entertaining drama.
Yeah.
And so
I think the standards have been lowered then. I think it's very accessible.
I don't think
there's anything under the surface of this movie.
No, I think part of that is aligning a little bit against what movies do you
objected to comparisons to Game Changer, Michael Clayton. So what movies do you compare this to? Like, what do you put it in the vein of?
Oh, I put it, you know, certainly, you know, the movie that comes to mind is, you know, this incredibly critically acclaimed, you know, it's not a movie, the miniseries Carlos, and I enjoyed this so much more than Carlos.
Oh, you can't compare the two.
Well, it's similar.
You can't compare it to Game Change.
I'm comparing it to, like, you know, the hostage section, and it's a very similar time and era and location, the Middle East.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that one came to mind.
Carlos is a lot different in that, Carlos is designed
as a miniseries for French TV.
Not only that, it's from the point of view of, it's a biopic about this terrorist.
Right, I'm pulling out the hostage sequence in that on the plane, essentially. You know,
as sort of the thriller type thing that recently hasn't been that genre. What's interesting is like the hostage sequence in Carlos is the best part of Carlos when he's on the plane and dealing with it. I actually think that as a standalone sequence or whatever you want to call it is superior to the tension created in Argo.
Right.
I think it surpasses it. Here's the difference.
I don't think it's tough to compare because I think Argo does an interesting
movie.
Thing. Argo is a funny movie. This is like what we haven't even gotten into.
Right.
It has the Hollywood sections that are just part of the fun. You know, it's also the guys in the CIA and their, you know, brash language and handling of the situation that I was laughing every time. I was laughing at the laughs and enjoyed it.
So the filmmaking of Argo is better than the filmmaking in Carlos for you?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. Because it's a handling of tone. You know, it's a handling, you know, I have to come out with my experience, you know, what my experience was of the movie. You know, Carlos, I don't want to compare it anymore to Carlos because it's too, you know, it's a different, it's a, such a long, you know, 4 hour, whatever, 6 hour thing. Comparison. You know, I mean, but similar, you know, the last thing I can remember on this thriller type thing is like Spy Game, which I liked a lot.
Oh, I'll give you two movies that are better than Argo that are in similar vein. United 93 and 13 Days. Have you guys seen that movie, the Kevin Costner?
I would put this over 13 Days without a doubt.
No. 13 Days is really good.
No, but this is. But I think you're missing like the like popcorn.
This is more.
This is more popcorn.
This is more.
And United 93 is a movie maybe you could watch once, and I don't know that anybody talks about having watched that movie more than once.
Well,
it's just,
Yeah, I mean, it's a very. Sensitive. That I mean, United 93 is a.
There's no laughs in United 93.
No, but I mean, United 93. I challenge you to watch it without.
Well, no, I think United 93
is
incredible.
United 93 is. I would say it's one of the best works of art that the studio system has made in like the last 15 years.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not going to argue it, but I think it. You know, pulling it into the comparison of. Argo is...
Well, they're both based on true stories, and they're of the similar scale.
Yeah, but Argo takes kind of like, you know, humorous mixed with the thriller tone.
Tone is different, and I actually might... and maybe is a... It's funny, because I have to say I did really enjoy the Hollywood sequences. Like, it was the most fun part of the movie. The best emotional moment of the movie is Alan Arkin making the decision to help, I thought. there's a little bit of a sort of... And maybe Phil can... I don't know if you back me up on this. Or there's something that irritates me about... There's a sort of smarmy, like...
Inside Hollywood?
No, sort of like... There's this like sort of smarmy, snarky liberalism, you know, the sort of like Rachel Maddow, this haughty, like, you know, feels like they're sort of acting like.
Give me an example from it.
Well, Aaron Sorkin is a good example of a writer.
No, give me an Argo example.
Well, okay, I'll give you the prime. My biggest is sort of, okay, the opening sequence, not the the sort of.
It looks like comic. It's,
The slideshow version of Iranian history, which, you know, is, you know, I've heard this story 100 times. It's the version where the U.S. and Britain, you know, had this coup against this illegitimate leader in Iran, or this legitimately elected leader in Iran. And the sort of the narrative that's told, and it's a very sort of common left wing kind of thing, is that, you know, we got rid of this guy, and so we brought the Ayatollahs to power, which is a really I think simplified and very false, odd, or very false, it's almost propaganda about what really happened in the Iranian Revolution. Like, if you want to read a real simple thing to look at, is Persepolis, that graphic novel.
Yeah.
The Iranian Revolution was a ton of different groups revolting against the Shah. The Shah was, you know, a questionable leader.
No, I'll admit, like, and the opening sequence to me didn't, you know, jibe with, like, it was like, oh, I didn't really, you know, it was a little, I was like, I didn't realize it was so black and white. I mean,
it's not. The Iranian,
it's a mainstream movie. He has to do this. He has to make it accessible for everyone.
He's simplifying the issue. I'm saying what it is, but he has to make it accessible.
No, it's pandering to blue America. That's what it is. And that's what that version of history is. But part of that is the way that these people talk is sort of like a version of like Sorkinisms. Like, everybody's smarter, you know what I mean? And it's this like kind of smart alecky kind of self-righteous. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's there's something that annoys me about that. It's sort of this point of view on the world, this like smarter than everybody else kind of point of view, and it's also very, I don't know, it's a form of arrogance to me. In any case, that was sort of my issue. I think I might have got off on it.
I think it's almost that they're taking very complicated backstory and needing a huge audience to get up to speed. I don't think it was done as elegantly as it could be, but I mean, it's one of those where he's trying to please, yeah, a huge audience that has no backstory of the 1979 era politics. Yeah. So he's trying to catch them up to speed in 2.5 minutes. I found it a strange choice of the comic.
Well, it's not even comics.
It's, image and the woman. It had nothing to do with anything. It's you would have thought it'd be Ben Affleck's character maybe narrating it.
Yeah. Right. But, no, it was, I don't know enough about the politics to really, know one way or the other, whether I wasn't jumping out of my seat, upset, but it was more the stylistic choice jumped out at me as being really weird. But, I think it's an interesting thing. We just touched on a little bit of the Hollywood aspect of the movie. Just like, what are general thoughts of movies about movies? And would you even put this in that category?
A movie that I actually thought of, and it's the producer character for sure reminded me of it. Do you guys remember the movie Wag the Dog?
Sure. Yeah.
And I liked Wag the Dog. I liked Wag the Dog so much more than this. Yeah. It was so much smarter than this. And it was actually kind of similar where they have to fake a war.
Yeah.
For them, and they bring in a movie producer to fake a war. Here they have to fake a movie, to go into the Middle East.
Yeah. But I guess before getting into, because that does bring up this, like, based on a true story, because like you said, it was smarter, but like, yeah, this is based on a true story. I mean, they're dealing with certain realities. But do you think the response to this movie, is it all in line or have anything to do with the similar response we've seen to The Artist and, Hugo, just to name two last year. And then, there's two Hitchcock movies coming out in the next couple months. Like, is there something about revisiting, kind of older cinema?
I don't have much to say on that. Don't know. I really don't know.
To me, it's sort of wanting to do a more modern political movie, but by distancing it to a 1979 era, you're making it a little more, safe. He's wanting to be, and I mean, Affleck or whoever wanted to make this movie wanted to get into the political discussion in some way. I didn't see it as a return to movie making. I didn't at all think about Hugo or The Artist.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think there's a similar line of like filmmakers, these guys are all obviously older than us, but even there is like, and Phil, you even just brought it up of like movies aren't what they used to be. And there's this fetishization of old Hollywood, from the 70s and earlier. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing filmmakers who, for whatever reasons, don't recognize the cinema now as like as what is it used to be. And so there is a little bit of a desire to romanticize and put on screen, that version. I'm just wondering whether, because that's what I saw, when I see these.
It's funny because Super 8 had that also.
Right, yeah.
There might be something in the air. I don't know. I do think people, nowadays are a little more savvy about sort of the filmmaking process, I think sort of more people are sort of like know what it is or something, know what goes in it. And so it's like more people are in on the inside joke. I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's sort of widespread belief that, I think movies are always in a panic about it being over. I mean, you heard about it in the silent era too, you know?
And right.
You know, it's always sort of like, oh, things are done, blah, 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 blah. I don't know that it's any different now, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, what about, you know, I'm interested for Ben Affleck as an actor, just real quick to touch on, is, you know, I mean, obviously his first film, he wasn't in his first film as a director, but he was in... You know, his next two as the lead in both of these movies.
Yeah, how does he direct himself?
Yeah, how's he direct himself, and how might it be different from what he'd been before, you know?
I like Ben Affleck the best when he's playing a dick.
Personally. You like him as O'Banion in Days and Confused, and that's about...
Yeah. I mean, and like, I feel like... I don't know. I guess I've also like I don't know. I didn't think I should have maybe thought more about this.
I thought about it because if the lasting image I have of this movie is Ben Affleck in a wig and a beard, just having a close up of himself. I mean, I don't think he's per se a bad actor. I also don't think he's a movie star. In the realm of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, Ben Affleck tried very hard to become a movie star early on in his career, and it didn't work.
Yeah. He's not. I didn't.
But, yeah, I'd argue.
I don't feel much for him on screen. I don't wish he was on screen when he's not.
You know what was my least favorite?
He did give himself kind of the plainest role, you know, almost in this film. Like, he has almost zero humor compared to like the actors around him,
but the scenes he's in. Well, you're talking about John Goodman and Alan Arkin, which is a separate. I mean, those guys, they should knock it out of the park because they have
the best lines and they're
the most colorful characters, and it's by design that they're that way.
Yeah,
Ben Affleck is the hero of the movie.
Yeah,
and I mean, he has his big choice when it's the night before and he has to decide if he's going to go against his orders to stop the, you know...
The mission.
Stop the mission or...
Worst part of the movie.
Oh, yeah. That should be the apex of the movie.
And you mean the... Oh, wait, which part? I'm thinking... Are you talking about the end of the second act or the end of the first act?
I'm talking about when he's been told that the mission's over. He hasn't told the hostages that he has the night to think about it.
And is that then when he drinks?
Yeah, and then he comes to his decision. He comes to his decision of my moral code.
Yeah,
I have to go.
Yeah.
Back, and that should be incredibly dramatic, and it just goes on.
I'm interested for this movie whether you had because I saw this. You know, a decently crowded theater, and this is one of those movies where when they get the announcement, like, we're in Iranian airspace, the theater, like, exploded in applause. Mm-hmm. Both then and the title card, you know, coming up at the end of the movie.
They cheered at the Argo title card?
Yeah. They clapped, you know. They cheered when, you know, the finale of the movie occurs and the big, you know, dramatic release.
Did you cheer?
No, I mean, I'm not that big, but I felt it. I was there with the people. So I'm interested.
Yeah, same thing.
I mean, it's rare that these kind of movies come along.
Here's where I would say that. Look, I saw it with my parents, and my parents really liked it. I think, basically, that this is, I think, like I said it was a solid movie, but I actually think Phil is also right when he says it's a safe movie. I definitely think this movie is pandering to a blue state sense of seriousness about world affairs. This is like, I bet this will be Bill Clinton's favorite movie of the year. Like that crap, you know what I mean? And like, and that's fine. That's what it is.
I'm hoping Spring Breakers will be Bill Clinton's favorite.
What's that?
I'm hoping Spring Breakers will be Bill Clinton's favorite film of the year.
Publicly.
I think the movie is less politicized than you're making it out to be.
No. I do think that's part of it. But I I'm not saying this is like a big, it's going to be a big divisive movie.
Right.
Like, I just don't have a better term than Blue State
America. Like, I can tell you, I think Red State America is enjoying this movie.
Probably also. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just...
I mean, a crowd-pleasing movie is a crowd-pleasing movie.
Yeah. Know? No, no, no. I know what you mean, but I get there's a certain sort of crowd that likes these kind of movies that's sort of like...
Apollo 13. Has
Apollo 13. That's even more safe than this movie.
Oh, I find them very equivalent. I know Apollo 13 is...
Yeah.
I don't know if people still love it, but when it came out, it was beloved and patriotic and all this. And it was... Yeah. I had a very similar reaction to that.
The politics is a confusing discussion. I maybe shouldn't even bring that up. But I can't quite put my finger on what it... But I feel like I understand the crowd that this movie is made for.
Yeah. Well, anyway, any closing thoughts you guys want to have on Argo?
I wanted to bring up one more thing on it. And it was a real, I thought, bad taste in my mouth to leave the end credits. He decides to put up a real image of the events with the fictional events, and that just made me think of giving yourself a pat on the back.
I don't know if I thought I didn't have that. I had a similar reaction that I wanted the movie just to be over because I enjoyed the experience, and I thought it pulled me out to that. But I mean, that also gets at probably a little pet peeve I have about these based on a true story movies is, you know, but that is a, you know, a huge, I feel like it's a little bit of an audience ploy that people do want to see who these real people are, like right then after the movie. And it's just kind of, you know, giving them a little too much of what they want, maybe, rather than leave, you know, because I do think it pulls the plug off of, you know, like the euphoria that people, you know, could leave the theater.
And it reminded me of how, hey, I got these details right. Look at this photo. Yeah. Look at the still from my movie. I got the details right.
My dad had a funny note. This will round out the conversation about, you're talking about the production design and the mustaches and all that. My dad at the end was like, they were trying to look different, right? When they were trying to get out of the country. My dad's like, why didn't they just shave their mustache?
Well, that was in the movie. They were supposed to look
like
their passport photos, and
Yeah,
without changing their appearance too much. But yeah,
they were supposed to both change their appearance and not change.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect way to get out of the country. Oh man.
Anyways.
Yeah. Well, have you guys seen anything else in the theater lately?
Well, one movie that I had seen a while ago that we never talked about was Pitch Perfect.
Oh yeah.
Should we talk about that at all? I mean,
Did you like it?
You know what? It's a funny thing is I didn't like it that much when I first saw it. I thought it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
But I have to admit that I have thought about the movie and it sort of sticks with me. And so over time it has actually grown in esteem in my view. It's not as good as Bring It On, which is sort of the same thing, but it's like in that genre. But I do think this is made for like, it's one of these, you know, it's just like, it's for girls, you know, and let's just go have a good time.
Is the enjoyment out of it like a character enjoyment or is it just the songs?
The characters are serviceable.
Yeah.
But not great, but it's the songs. I mean, there are some good sort of musical numbers in it. You know, it's about girls a cappella group. And Anna Kendrick is the sort of lead character.
Is it high school or college?
College a cappella. And I want to point out there's this one actor in it, this guy named Adam Devine, I think, who is in the show Workaholics.
I don't know.
He's in Girls, too.
He's in Girls?
Yeah, that's where I heard he got his, like, first
role. Who's he playing?
He plays Lena Dunham's gay ex-boyfriend.
Okay, yeah.
If we're thinking of the same character.
No. I'm pretty sure we're not thinking of the same character. But I'll double check it. But I know what character you're talking about in Girls. And anyway, this actor, maybe I'm getting the names confused, but he's the guy that's in Pitch Perfect. He plays the main sort of bad guy in the Boys a cappella group. Oh. And he's also in Workaholics. He is very funny.
Yeah.
Very charismatic. And like, I'm a big fan of him. I think he's
How is Anna Kendrick?
If you like Anna Kendrick, you will like her performance in the movie. I think she's good.
Phil, is that, I like her in 50-50,
but I really did not like her in Up in the Air. But yeah. I think she's gotten really good.
That's because you don't like her character in Up in the Air.
No, I didn't think she... Well, yeah, I guess I didn't like her character, but I also didn't like... I mean, I wasn't drawn to her. There's other stuff, like I like her in movies that... God, what is that movie?
Oh, Twilight?
The one where she's the sister, Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. She's in that for a few scenes, and I liked her in that.
Yeah, I like her in that.
I think you will like her in this.
A good double feature with Perks of a Wallflower, or what's...
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I actually think Pitch Perfect is worth seeing in the theater. I actually do think it is worth seeing.
I won't see it in the theater.
It's not good.
I'll think about seeing it on DVD,
don't get me wrong.
I guess.
It's not good, but it is different and kind of... It's fun, but it's not good, so...
Wait, has anybody seen that one you brought up, Perks of a Wallflower?
I keep meaning to. That's the one I want to see. I wanted to see it with Argo as a double feature.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like
it's out of the theaters.
It's just one
already.
I'll see on DVD. Yeah. I'm not that disappointed.
I think it will be one of
these. Have you seen anything else or any other movies?
Not in the theater. Yeah. I haven't seen.
Did you see anything, Andy? Theater?
I've been to the theater a decent amount. I saw 7 Psychopaths this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It came
How
out.
Was it? I want to see it.
I mean, this is a movie
you
I was
went
pretty
in with high
excited.
Expectations.
Yeah, I mean... I was a really big fan of In Bruges, and so it's the same writer-director, Martin McDonagh, who, you know, prior to In Bruges, he made one short film, but, you know, he was a very highly esteemed playwright.
Yeah.
And English playwright, or
Irish.
Thereabouts. Irish? Is he Irish?
Yes, Irish,
yeah, that would make sense. I think he lived in London when he was writing his plays. But anyways, he... you know, so yeah, this is his follow-up feature to In Bruges, and I hadn't even I hadn't even watched a trailer for this movie, because I'd kind of been that, like, I just wanted to go in with it. You know, of course, I knew bits and pieces of it, and it would be a tough movie for me to recommend to people, because it has really...
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. I was really glad I saw it.
Okay.
And the pleasures I got from it were... good enough to make up for kind of the mess of the movie it is.
Did you but you did not like it as much as In Bruges?
No.
Did you see the guard?
I saw the guard.
That's his brother.
Right. And I liked the guard. But
was
it's
this
not,
better than the guard?
I don't know. You know, they might be a little bit comparable.
Yeah. I did not like the guard.
I liked, you know, stuff about it a lot, but you know, the writing in this, when the writing's good in this, it is, you know, it's like some of the best stuff. Yeah. I would say it's the best stuff we're getting right now. But the problem is, I think part of it is the material.
It's the
dialogue and, you know, just character, situational, surprise comedy. Mm-hmm. And, in, you know, towing that edge of inappropriate stuff of, you know, that the guy gets away with. In the mix of, because it's funny or because the characters he creates, he can get away with stuff that you kind of don't want to see people trying to get away with, you know, racial, political kind of humor. And but it's I find it kind of a relief to see those things dealt with, and somebody who's a little bit unafraid to go after it. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it's a meta movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a movie about a screenwriter.
Yeah.
You know, without giving too much away, that's a tough place to start.
Yeah. The preview does not look good, I don't think. And although I would say that the In Bruges preview didn't exactly... Well, I thought
the preview was really bad.
Yeah, it didn't, like, I didn't get want me to see the movie. I only saw it on probably your recommendation or someone's recommendation. And so it's interesting.
You know, I still like... I mean, I like Colin Farrell, and so I liked him in this. And Christopher Walken is really fun in this. Tom Waits has kind of a fun small role. Like, there's fun
does
pieces.
Does he sing in it?
No. I don't think he does sing. But it is like a total mess of a movie. Mm. And it's just whether you're willing to kind of deal with that. Like, the movie's going to have its fans. It's very... It kind of feels like... You know how after Pulp Fiction came out, there were all these like copycat all the rip-offs. Tarantino movies. Look like that. You know, it has something in mind.
It does.
With that.
Even the preview has that feel of like 2 days in the valley.
Yeah,
right. It's, you know, I think overall the writing is smarter, but the smartness of it ultimately can't let it be a good movie. Cause it's almost like he wasn't going to let himself make.
There's another movie you know? With Christopher Walken in it that is the quintessential Pulp Fiction ripoff, where Christopher Walken plays like the bad guy. Ugh, and I cannot remember.
Is it Things to Do in Denver?
Yeah, Things to Do in Denver when you're dead.
The Andy Garcia.
Yeah,
movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it better than that? I hope it's better than that.
You know, I enjoyed a lot of those like post Tarantino movies. Well, when I watched them.
That movie, the Denver movie. There are some funny lines of dialogue in it. So there are some good things, but overall it's kind of...
No,
this
movie couldn't have come out at that time, you know, because those ones kind of took themselves a little bit seriously, so to speak. And so this is removed in him dealing a little bit in the same genre, but...
Yeah.
Like, kind of not feeling like he could go there. So,
you
know, for you know... Full completist, maybe deep catalog kind of, you know, people only. I think this movie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Would you recommend it to film fans?
Oh, I'd recommend it to you guys. Absolutely. Like, because partly it's it's a film movie, so it's kind of fun, filmmaking humor within it, and. You know, I think they're actors that you guys like, and so you might like some of the performance. And he makes some really interesting decisions in the movie that are totally against kind of normal, so to speak, filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And at points gets away with it, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it was fun to watch that. And then other points, it's like, oh, I'm watching somebody be smart about movies and movie making because they couldn't get out of their own head, So... Yeah.
So two movies in the same week with a meta movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's certain. Well, meta movie, you know, is different. Argo had a movie plot within it.
Just characters in the movie.
You know, Seven Psychopaths is, you know, nothing about Argo in that aspect was like meta postmodern. You know, Seven Psychopaths is like a postmodern where you're seeing scenes from a potential movie and they become different over time. And
there's something in that in Bruges too. They had a movie going on.
Right. I had totally forgotten about that. Yeah. There's a movie shoot. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where Peter Dinklage, you know, is playing the dwarf, you know, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see any stuff, Phil?
Not in the theater, but I did revisit a movie. It's Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep, Defending Your Life.
I like that movie.
It is so good and such a rare example of good people just wanting to do good things. And it's a romantic comedy, and it's so smart.
I don't know if that movie is that good.
It's so good.
Oh, God, come on.
As a romantic comedy?
I would say that is that's Argo for a romantic comedy. It's solid.
Really? You think?
Solid. It's solid. It's good. It's solid entertainment. It's nothing. I don't think it's
that good. Well, I mean, people ask me for, like, great romantic comedies, like, that's never going to come to mind. Like, if people bring it up like you just brought it up now, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good movie. But it's never going to be one, at least in my...
Yeah, it's forgotten point. About.
But where, you know, it's not forgotten. It is one that I feel like gets referenced as...
It's not as good as Working Girl.
I have a bigger emotional reaction at the end, by far, than Working Girl. I want these two people, and I want Albert Brooks to definitely go after Meryl Streep.
Will you be revisiting Hope Springs now that you've...
No, I will not.
Or did you watch this to get the Hope Springs taste out of your mouth?
No, I needed a sort of feel-good movie to watch this week. So I chose that, and it made me feel good.
I remember seeing this. You know, this may be too divergent for our purview here, but I remember seeing that it like a teenager, 12 to 14-ish birthday party, and like thought that's it was weird. So weird
that
this
I
kid
see that
was
in the
choosing
theater.
Like to go to see that movie as his birthday movie. But I remember afterwards thinking, yeah, it's a good movie. I liked it.
You know what it is with that movie?
You think it was 93, 92?
I think Defending Your Life.
I feel it might have even been 91.
That would make sense for the age.
I'm trying to think of the first time I saw it, which might have been... It was definitely on video for a while. I don't know how I came upon
That movie to me is an interesting... thing with Meryl Streep. I think Meryl Streep's interesting.
She's so good in it.
Okay. You know what it is? Meryl Streep is obviously the best actress living, right? I mean, she's just wide. It's just she's the best. Okay, fine. You can't argue against it. But she's not lovable as a person. She doesn't have, I'm not a huge Julia Roberts fan, but people love her.
Oh, no. We could get into a huge Julia Roberts discussion.
But do you know what I mean? There are people that you just...
Women think guys love Julia Roberts. Guys do not like Julia
Roberts. No, women
like
Julia Roberts.
Yes, women like Julia Roberts.
But they don't just like her. They love her.
I like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
I like her
in
Pizza. We're talking 25 years ago now.
I'm saying...
We're talking her first 2 years.
And it's almost... It's an interesting, like, sort of movie star issue. And it might even be a specific thing to women movie stars... Because Meryl Streep is not a movie star. She's a highly esteemed best actress. But I think Defending Your Life's a good example. There's something about her in that movie that I'm just like, eh.
I'm surprised. You should rewatch it. Because it would almost be considered high concept.
It is high concept. Yeah, it's the ultimate high concept.
But that falls... That's
you're in purgatory.
I know, but that's forgotten about... Once you get into the movie, it's becomes this.
You know what's a better movie?
About another concept.
The whole movie is there. Yeah. You know what's a better movie that deals with the same thing? Scrooged.
Well, Scrooged is great, but
I know, but it's a better movie.
How does it deal with the same?
But it's not.
It's revisiting the past what you know happens and stuff like that, and what you know makes up a person.
Yeah,
but I think you're it's a different. You know, Phil's putting this in the romantic comedy. Genre, and that's really like comedy with a touch of drama.
No, it's a redone, it's a comic retelling of A Christmas Carol. Right. Yeah, it's different, but in that thematic of looking back on your life, I think a more memorable movie. I don't know. Well, yeah. Phil, I saw one other thing I've been watching. I'll just jump in. I've been visiting Jack Lemmon. Not that I'm that familiar.
What
with
are the films?
That... Well, I watched The Odd Couple. And I watched
Never seen
Some
that.
Like It... Oh, yeah, you got to watch that. It's fantastic. I watched The Odd Couple, Some Like It Hot, Grumpy Old Men,
I don't remember liking Grumpy Old Men.
It's not the spectacular, but it's
I remember... Fine. You know what
it's
I remember?
It's Argo, Phil. It's Argo.
What I remember about Grumpy Old Men, though, when I was 12, I really wanted to see it. And it's...
So if Grumpy Old Men was released this year, it would be nominated
for
Best
Picture?
You know what
is better than... I also was watching Out to Sea, which is like... I don't know if it was made before or after Grumpy Old Men, but it's a Walter Matthau Lemon
thing. This is the problem. Argo will be nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, it's a lock.
But it shouldn't be. Well, is that what you guys want when you go to the movies? Is
I will take Argo.
Absolutely. I will take Argo. I thought it was great. I mean, I absolutely enjoyed.
I don't think it's great. I don't think it's great.
No, it's not going to make it in my favorite movies ever. But I'll take it at a movie theater.
Yeah,
take it. I'm not leaving the theater upset, but this is not Best Picture. This is not acclaimed director Ben Affleck. This is not.
Well, first of all, to be fair, your tastes don't align with the Academy's tastes. I mean, if you haven't realized
this movie is made for the Academy.
You're frustrating yourself if you're trying to say that.
I would say part of your objection, Phil, is, and maybe this is fine, but part of your objection is that it's getting acclaim. It's not what it is. You think it's an inflated stock price. You're selling.
Yes.
Basically. And I would agree. I wouldn't buy it. I agree with that.
If this wins Best Picture, it would be, it would mean probably a better movie doesn't win. But I do think it should get nominated for Best Picture. What I've seen and what I'm looking at, coming up, I'll be surprised. I won't be upset that this is nominated.
The only other movie that I watched this year that I'm like, oh, that'll be nominated for Best Picture is Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
I haven't seen it. I really want to see that.
It's really cheesy. I mean, it's well done, but it is cheese to the max. But you liked it. I did like it overall. Yeah. I actually thought the first half of the movie was really well done. Like, just good movie. And then, I mean, it goes off the rails, but that's okay. That was not goes off the rails. It just makes, I think, really bad sort of condescending choices towards, like, old people. But what do I know about old people?
Did you like The Help? I don't remember if you liked The Help.
No, I did not like The Help.
Yeah. Well, just talking about Oscar stuff, because it's one that keeps getting brought up as a sleeper, and I watched it recently on DVD. Have you guys seen Bernie?
No.
I need to see that.
Oh, this is... Yeah, I mean... Absolutely. This is like stuff that's on DVD. This is like a no-brainer that you got to watch Bernie. I mean, really interesting filmmaking choices. Just like the whole conceit of the approach to the film. And then, Jack Black and Matthew McConaughey are really watchable. It'll be there on like a lot of best of lists and stuff. And I think it's kind of fun. I think that it's a little bit of my experience of it. And I think most people's is it's kind of a sleeper hit. And it's kind of, I don't think we get those too often anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's Linklater though, right?
Yeah. But he hasn't, he hasn't made a big movie.
No, I know. I'm a fan of his work. So it's like,
But
I haven't seen many of his recent movies. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, I think that should wrap us up here on The Moviegoers. Till next time.
Adios.
Thanks for listening. Don't tell my sister about your most recent vision. Don't tell my family they're a wicked, strict Christian. Don't tell the hangers-on. Don't tell your friends. Don't tell them we went down to Ybor City again. Don't tell the dancers. They'll just...